How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 157 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, leave a review once you're on that page, and find us on audioboom.com. Log on to normantranscript.com and check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can find all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Hope you had a good weekend. The Thunder did not have the greatest of weekends. They lost in Portland on Thursday. They lost in Phoenix on Friday. And now they just lost in Dallas, where I am, 104-89 on Sunday night. Russell Westbrook had 29, 6 boards, 5 assists. Dennis Kanter had 16 and 10 in 18 minutes off the bench. Steven Adams, 19 points, 5 boards. But this was a really bad game for the Thunder. They struggled on the defensive end. They struggled to shoot. They were 2 of 21 from 3. Russell Westbrook wasn't hitting shots. He was missing shots around the basket. Quick housekeeping before we go. Victor Oladipo didn't play. 6 straight games that he's missed now with the back spasms. Alex Abrines left late in the first half. He got poked in the left eye. Didn't return to the game. He played only 10 minutes after starting in Oladipo's place. The Thunder have not given an update on the eye or for status for Monday's practice, for Tuesday's game, anything like that. But, of course, I'll let you know as soon as I know, as always. But this was a bad game. Their defense, especially in the first half. I mean, Dallas shot 63% in the first half. Now, granted, they were making just about every long two they possibly could. They were on fire on from that range, and Dirk was incredible, just hitting these incredibly difficult shots. That's like he's still one of the only players in the league who can hit those sorts of shots. But their on-ball defense is bad. Billy Donovan talked about it during the game. Even Andre Roberson was having possessions where, like, he was guarding Seth Curry, and Seth Curry would just go straight to the hoop, and he'd get there, and Seth Curry played well. He scored well in this game. Got to the hoop well, took efficient shots, made a couple of threes, finished around the rim pretty impressively, but, like, there were a couple of plays where he just kind of schooled Andre Roberson, and that's, like, an uncharacteristic thing for Seth Curry. Guys were able to get to the basket, and it was a real problem. That was especially true during those lineups where they would play Dirk at the 5. They'd go small. They'd have Dirk at the 5. Man, the Thunder tried to take advantage of those lineups on the offensive end. Whoever Dirk was guarding, whether it was Kanter, whether it was Adams, like those Kanter-Adams numbers that I referenced at the top of the show, Kanter had 16 points in 18 minutes, 14 shots. Adams was 8 of 10 from the field, 19 points. A lot of those points came with Dirk guarding those guys. So whenever Dirk was on the floor, the Thunder were going to those guys. They were getting deep paint position before even getting the ball. They were putting up the shot. The problem was that Dirk was creating so much havoc on the offensive end, and it's not just because he had 18 points. Like, obviously 18 points is a pretty nice night, and it's fine, but that's not really where Dirk's offensive value came. Dirk's offensive value came where, like, even when he was 30 feet from the rim, all the way 8, 10 feet beyond the three-point line, with Steven Adams guarding him, Steven Adams was actually, when he was at, like, 30 feet, Steven Adams was going beyond the three-point line to guard him, and when those Thunder players were struggling to guard guys on the ball, it was just open lane to the basket because there was nobody there. There was no secondary line of help at all. And that's been a little bit of a theme lately. Against Portland, the Thunder had a similar problem. Like when they played the Kanter-Adams lineups and Adams was being dragged out to the perimeter to guard stretch fours. You know, usually it was like down the stretch with Al-Farouq Aminu. That was a problem. Guys were getting to the rim because Steven Adams was kind of out there. And Steven Adams is pretty good on the perimeter usually. Hasn't been that great. I mean, this is kind of, he put up nice numbers in this one. He had 19 points, and the rebounds were a little down, but no one would look at his numbers and say they weren't good. But defensively, I just didn't think he was characteristic. I didn't think he was the usual Steven Adams that we're used to seeing, where, you know, one of the best defensive centers in the league. The standard that he's set for himself, I don't think he's necessarily played up to that the last 4 games or so. And I couldn't tell you why. Now, he was better in this game than he was in the Portland game. He was better in this game than he was in the Utah game. He was better in this game than he was in the first half of the Phoenix game. Second half of the Phoenix game, I thought he was a little bit better. I thought he was stronger on help side and that kind of stuff. He made some better plays around the basket, all of that. But he's not playing at the high, high level that we're used to seeing him play at. Now, I don't know the reason for that. Again, I said this a couple podcasts ago before the weekend. I'm not worried about it. And I don't think Thunder fans should be worried about it. Steven Adams has been really consistent this year. Guys go through slumps. Guys go through those slumps on defense. It happens. Andre Robertson had, I thought, a subpar game by his standards against Dallas, too. Like, the best defenders sometimes just go through slumps, go through a game or two or three where they're just not playing great. It's just, they're human beings. It happens. And I think that's what's happening with Adams right now. But it's been noticeable for sure, and it's had a negative effect on the Thunder defense. Russell Westbrook got his 14th technical foul in this one. Got it. He bounced the ball into Seth Curry, and they said he did it intentionally. I don't know if he did it intentionally, honestly. I don't want to be the Homer OKC media here, but I'm not saying he certainly didn't do it intentionally. I think reputation kind of comes into this one, too. He's had technical fouls called on him for balls that he's thrown that have hit people before. So maybe there's some reputation that goes into making that call. But I don't know. I think there's a chance that tech gets rescinded. We asked for a pool reporter to ask Scott Foster why the tech was called. I wasn't even 100% sure why the tech was called. I didn't know if they thought he was throwing the ball at the ref, if he said something in that moment that we didn't catch because we couldn't hear it from where we were sitting in Dallas, which is a couple of rows back on the other side of the court. So I didn't know if he said something. I didn't know if it was because it hit Seth Curry, because I thought that looked like it could have just been accidental and he was bouncing the ball to the ref. I didn't know what the deal was, so I think it's possible that gets rescinded, but he's at 14 techs right now. And that means he's really only allowed one more tech the rest of the year, and that's it. 16 techs is an automatic suspension, and the Thunder can't afford that. Everybody knows the Thunder cannot afford to lose Russell Westbrook. He can't get that extra tech. Something to watch, for sure. He's sitting on 14, and that can make a difference between, look, they're going to make the playoffs. But losing Westbrook for a game, that can make the difference between 17 and 6 seed. They're close with Memphis right now. That's a plausible scenario. So that's certainly something to watch. Some Twitter questions. First one from Russ West Jr. Russ West 44 Jr. Is Oladipo's injury worse than we expect? Man, people on the Twitter sphere are really panicking about the Victor Oladipo back spasms. Every time I tweet out the daily Oladipo tweets, people freak out. I think part of it is on the Thunder. In terms of just the way it's perceived, and the reason why I say that is because they don't give timetables. And this does seem like one of those scenarios where a timetable is not possible to give. He really is day-to-day, and he just hasn't played, and he's missed 6 games now with the back spasms. He hasn't played a game since February 15th, but he hasn't been hurt since February 15th. He's been hurt since February 23rd. They had their first practice back from the All-Star break February 22nd. Their last game before the All-Star break was February 15th. He practiced on February 27th, February 22nd. He went through everything. Then the 23rd, that Thursday, he ended up tweaking his back. He started having the back spasms that Thursday. And he's gone through some non-contact stuff in practice and shoot around, that kind of stuff. But he hasn't actually played a game. Now, the Thunder said back spasms, he's out 2 weeks. And it's been 10 days, 11 days. I don't think people would be freaking out. They'd be like, well, it's been 10 days, 11 days. They said 2 weeks. But because it's just the constant updates, people, and they say day to day, I think people are freaking out a little bit more than necessary. They're back spasms. Sometimes back spasms take a couple of weeks. Sometimes that happens. It's not happening every time. And like, look, the argument that Alex Abrines had back spasms and only missed a couple of games, and Victor Oladipo's back spasms and he's missing 6 games, something's horribly wrong. That's not how this works. Different people's bodies have different things. Maybe Alex Abrines' back spasms just stopped. Back spasms can go on for a couple of weeks. Any kind of spasms, neck spasms, they can go on for a couple of weeks. That's a thing. It's possible. And that's what's happening with Oladipo. Next one from Jacob Silva. Will Billy Donovan put winning games in the final stretch of the season before Sabonis' development and begin to start Taj Gibson? It's a good question. It's something that I've wondered myself. So I think at this point, we can safely say the Thunder are starting Domantas Sabonis over Taj Gibson because of development, and that's it. They've had Taj Gibson for 6 games now, and they are playing Domantas Sabonis over him in the starting lineup. Minutes distribution for the Mavs game, Gibson played 23 minutes, and Sabonis still played 20. He's still getting minutes. He's still playing. Sabonis actually played more minutes in this one than Cantor. Now, the numbers are obviously skewed. Late in the game, it was a blowout. Guys, you know, the fourth quarter minutes were all messed up, and It was, you know, different in the Phoenix game and different in the Portland game and that kind of stuff. But Sabonis is still getting minutes. He's still starting. He's still getting consistent time. He's still slumping. And it does have to do with Sabonis' minutes. It does have to do with his confidence. It does have to do with his development for the future. I still think Taj Gibson is going to start. I still think he's going to start. I don't think you rent a guy if you plan on, like Gibson, if you plan on starting Sabonis over him amidst Sabonis' just an incredibly prolonged slump right now. I don't think you do that. Now, Gibson is a upgrade, even if he's just taking Laverne's minutes and some of Canner's and some of Sabonis's, and, you know, he's, you know, getting his way up to 20 to 25 or whatever. But if you're renting him, which this isn't definitely a rental, but if I had to bet on it being a rental or a long-term trade, the Gibson part is a rental. If you're renting him, it makes more sense to maximize him as opposed to thinking, oh, well, you know what, it'll work next year. Because it may not. He may not be there. So I think Gibson is going to end up in the starting lineup. The Thunder have 19 games left. Seems like you want to have your starters together for, 15 of them. Maybe when, by the time Oladipo comes back, whenever that might be, they play Portland on Tuesday. Maybe that's when you see him, Donovan, bring him back because he wants to get all the starters together. He wants to give them opportunity to gel before the postseason. But I can't imagine the postseason that they're going to be starting Sabonis by that time in a postseason series, whether it's against Houston, whether it's against San Antonio, whoever it might be. So my prediction is that Gibson was going to start. My initial prediction was that Gibson would be starting by the end of the road trip. That didn't happen. I was wrong. I thought that he would. I thought they were going to make the change. They were going to ease Sabonis out. He would still continue to get minutes, but Gibson would get into the rotation. Maybe it's different when Oladipo is back. I still think they have time to put Gibson in the starting lineup, and I still think it's a decision they're going to make because it just makes the most sense for this year. Sabonis can still get minutes. They can still develop him. But just the trade makes a lot more sense if you're going to maximize Gibson if he's a rental. Short episode today because I got to be up early tomorrow morning to get back to Oklahoma City in time for practice. Remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. You can head out to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder. Questions, comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. And check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. Back tomorrow, heading into Tuesday's game against Portland, previewing that game. Talking more Thunder and that kind of stuff. But until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.